Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Steven Dutzman. I am your host, as always, and this is my ride to work. I also happen to be the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com. That is a website on the internet where parents like myself and my co-host come together to give everyone the information they need to get their family game on. I am finally starting to feel better, and I'm back because today is a pretty big day. The embargo for reviews on Steam World Quest have lifted, and I would like to take a moment to talk about my new game of the year so far. Admittedly, it's April, but you know what? We're starting to see the shape of the year, and I don't know, man. This looks like it could hold out. So, before, it was Tetris 99, because that game was absolutely bananas, and still is absolutely bananas. But now, we're going to talk about Steam, a little game called Steam World Quest. So, without further ado, here is my podcast review, and my general I'm going to freak out and have hype moments. I was not kidding. Steam World Quest is definitely going to be in the conversation for Game of the Year for me on Engage Family Gaming and elsewhere, because this game is just so good. So, a little bit of background. Steam World is a IP from a company called Image and Form Games. There have been a number of games in it. Two Steam World Dig games. Steam World Heist was out on everything, and it is a kind of a turn-based strategy game where you are kind of taking a squad in and aiming your guns and banking bullets off of walls. Super awesome. Lot of fun. And the SteamWorld Dig games are kind of Metroidvania experiences, right? Like you're digging down into the planet, mining resources, collecting things that you then climb back up, and when you climb back up, you can sell them and get upgrades, better lamps, better pickaxes, etc. What's interesting is, this is the fourth, actually it's not even, they actually even made, another game even before SteamWorld Dig. So they always try different genres. That's what's really interesting about these guys, is they take the SteamWorld formula, which is like a future steampunk aesthetic, where the characters are all kind of steam-powered robots, and they replace, and they go on these wacky adventures. Historically, everything was kind of set in the far-flung future. They were all super science fiction adventures. SteamWorld Heist was kind of like Firefly. You were the captain of a renegade captain of a pirate crew, stealing water from the bad guys and using that to get new equipment, etc. But the new game, SteamWorld Quest, The Hand of Gilgamesh, is an RPG, and specifically it is a fantasy RPG. And it is really freaking good. You follow Copernica and Armalee on their quest to... Armalee wants to join the Heroes Guild, which is really not a great thing to join, because it turns out they're just a bunch of douchebags. I mean, they're just not cool. It's all bureaucracy and cowards, more or less. And Armalee's the true hero. I mean, you can tell that right from the beginning. But, it's so funny because Armalee is like reading from this hero's guidebook and quotes from it and narrates her adventure. And Copernica is an alchemist. So she's the wizard. She left wizarding school, alchemy school, and the two of you are friends. You meet up with your boy, Galio, and then eventually you meet some other characters, and you just kind of go off on an adventure. The way the game works is you are, it's side-scrolling, but it's almost like playing like River City Ransom or like an arcade tactic, like an arcade beat-em-up game, because you're moving around on that kind of three-dimensional space, but you're a two-dimensional character. And the idea is you're moving from space to space, finding entrances. There are obvious exits, but then there are situations where, you know, you can get behind things and slash your weapon, and you can, you know, break obstacles and find secrets. So they really do encourage you to fully explore these kind of small spaces that are beautifully drawn, by the way. And so you're kind of going through, each chapter is basically like a maze of these rooms. And there are secret treasures everywhere. And so you will kind of progress through the levels, and in these various rooms will be monsters that spawn. And so you have to fight them. And the idea is you want to hit them with your weapon first before they hit you. And if you hit them, you do a little bit of damage to them, and it gives you a bit of an advantage. If they hit you, they actually do damage to you, which is kind of bad. So you have to be very careful with how you're running through the levels. And how you kind of, there's like this kind of footsies dance with the enemies, where I've actually found myself that if I don't think I'm in range to hit them right, I'll actually run away, go back to a previous room, and come back. Because if you swing and miss, you can't swing again before they get in on you. So you have to, you really got one shot to hit them. It's super interesting. And so the way combat works, you don't have like a separate combat screen. The fights take place like in that room. Which is super helpful when you're exploring for treasure and you get into a fight and you're like, hey, look, there's the treasure that I need. But what is really awesome about the combat system is that it is a, it uses cards. So basically every character in your party has an 8-card deck that you build using their own skills. And that you can have up to 3 characters in your party at one time. So those 3 8-card decks turn into 1 24-card deck, right? So you have 1 24-card deck, and every turn you draw 3 cards. And every turn you can play up to 3 cards, okay? Now, the idea is you want to play out, you want to play out the cards because those cards represent your attacks, your healing spells, etc. The key is your resource that you use to power your abilities are gears. So you earn gears by playing certain attacks. Like everybody has certain basic attacks that by using it, you simply gain a gear and you get to use the attacks. So this is like, for example, their basic attacks. For example, Armalee, the main character, just has Heroic Strike, which is just a basic melee attack. And by doing that, you earn 1 gear. Copernica has a Book Bash, which is literally, she just hits them with a book. And the, again, complete that attack gives you a gear. And both of them have higher level effects that are more impressive, like maybe they hit multiple enemies or hit harder or add status effects that cost gears. And so you're kind of playing that song and dance through your fights. So you're, you know, you'll be the extra layer is if you play 3 cards in a row from the same player within a given turn, you know, for the same character, they all have combo effects that are triggered based on their weapon. So for example, my number one strategy with Copernica is if you use 3 abilities for her in one turn, she puts like this cool energy shield that's equal to 20% of their health on everybody. So she's kind of healing by providing like an upfront shield. There's nothing better for me than an opening turn when I can cast 3 of her spells, because you get 3 of her spells and then you get these shields on everybody. And everyone has these different abilities. And again, they're all tied to different weapons. So that, in a nutshell, I just described the combat system, but man, there is such a, eventually you end up with 5 characters in your party and they are all very different. And you have to carefully, in order to really succeed in the game, you have to look at their at what the different characters can do and craft decks to give them a role. And it's, I know it's weird to think about, like, oh, well, what's their role in the group if you're not going to use everybody every turn? But it does make a difference. For example, Galio, you can absolutely build a deck for him using cards that make him a healer and, like, you know, casting buff spells on everybody. He has this really awesome card called Tinker, which lets you, you know, put a positive status effect, like a buff, on your whole team, and a debuff, like a negative status effect, on your enemies. And they're random, so it's not perfect, but it's a really cool way to get just a decent value. And sometimes it works out perfectly, sometimes not so much, but the, but it's, you know, it's awesome when it works out. And the worst case scenario is, you know, he's applying effects to everybody. And you know, the negative effects are always good, right? They're either doing less damage or they're taking more damage. And so, but he can also be a tank and can do some serious damage if you need to. And what's great is you can change your decks in between combat. So, for example, if you're in between they have these statues called Statues of Gilgamesh, which you can actually kind of talk to and regenerate all your health. But it respawns all the enemies. But if you're in between those and you're really struggling, maybe, you know, one of your guys died and you didn't have enough healing for them, you can reconfigure your squad and say, okay, Armalee's gone. I don't have any healing for her. I'm going to switch up Galio and have him be my main melee guy. And maybe it's not ideal, but it certainly can get the job done. And so, you know, Copernica, for example, you can change the elements that she's really focused on depending on what enemies that you're fighting. So, if everything you're fighting is weak against fire, you can switch out to a whole suite of fire spells. Same thing with ice or storm, things like that. This game is really good. I've rambled a lot. Mechanically, the combat system is amazing. Like, I want to play it as a card combat game. So I hope somebody reaches out and gets the license on this, because it is so good. But my favorite part is just the writing. Again, you know, the SteamWorld games are all funny. They are genuinely funny. You know, I was listening to an interview. One of the heads of Image and Form was on the Nintendo Voice Chat podcast from IGN, and he made a comment about you know, how they write they actually write the story in English, because they're set in Sweden, is where they live, right? So, you know, they don't even make a version of the game in Swedish, although they, you know, even they admit they probably should. But the game itself is written in English, and it shows, right? Like, these guys are very funny. This team is funny. And they are really good at, you know, telling, you know, taking tropes and kind of turning them on their head and making good jokes about them. Man, it's so fun. I have enjoyed every second I have played with this game. I hope they do another one. You know, every time I got a new card, and this is how I knew I was hooked. Every time I got a new card, I wanted to sit down for a half hour, delete everybody's deck, and rebuild it. And for me to find a new card for character number 5, and have that new card change the way I want to play characters 1, 2, and 3, when I can only have 3 characters in my party, absolutely, that sealed the deal for me. Huge fan. So, we're going to do a written review. I'm going to stream some of this game once our streaming setup is taken care of. But this game is coming out, this week. It's coming out on the 25th. So for those of you that want something to do to wind down from Avengers this week, this is a great game. It's going to be $25. It's a Switch exclusive right now. However, historically, image and form games come to everything. So you'll probably be able to play it. But if you own a Switch, this is absolutely a must play. I'll be recommending this for the rest of the year. That is SteamWorld Quest, The Hand of Gilgamesh. I hope you guys have a great day. I'm going to be back tomorrow to talk about Kickstarter and some of its shenanigans. And we will be back then. Until then, I hope you guys have a great day. Don't forget to get your family game on. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.